I want to thank the worship team and our AV people at the back for leading us into the presence of God this morning. And I want to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Now, some of you might say, well, it's not a guest speaker, it's part of our family. Well, they are part of our family, but also guest speakers. It's been quite a number of years. I was trying to figure this out because time to me just passes, but I think it's 7 years. Wasn't it 7 years, 8 years ago, Bear, that you came to us, you and Vanessa, and started as pastor of student ministries and missions mobilization. A young couple came to us, and they were excited about the Lord, and on their heart was missions. And they started to serve here at Westgate, and they completed that, and we sent them out as missionary apprentices. And they completed 3 years of missionary apprenticeship under our support and the support of other churches. And now they come back to us as IWs, international workers. And we're sending them out again. Yeah. So this is one, you know, we can kind of chalk up to Westgate. Another one, because we have them in our history. So this is another one that we're sending out around the world, out into the hard-to-reach places to expand the kingdom. And so, yeah, that is exciting. And so I want to introduce or invite Bear and Vanessa. Well, Bear, I guess Vanessa's going to be there. Yeah, to come to the front. But listen, this morning, we really have to pay attention because we want to continue a relationship with Yarbroughs. And that's a relationship, a seamless link kind of relationship. And Bear's going to tell us about the church planting thing that, I'll call it thing, I don't know how to think, vision, there it is. The church planting vision that God has placed on their hearts to plant a church in Mexico City. So we already have one there with Jonathan and Claudia, but we're going to have another one, and it's going to be ours. Like, I'm going to claim it again. It's going to be church number two, and I think in October. But we're going to listen to what Bear says. Okay, go ahead.
Es una bendición y placer que podemos estar aquí con ustedes esta mañana. Y gracias a Dios por esta oportunidad.
Amen.
We're excited to be here again with you. To be with our family. To be here for 6 years as pastor of student ministries and missions mobilization, and you know, and then to be sent out from that. And so, you know, just so everybody's aware, sure, which button do I push? There we go. So we went from this to this in 3 years. And in our time there, we went out, we were sent out by Westgate as our sending church, as our home church, as missionary apprentices to Mexico City. And part of the bulk of that was to learn Spanish, you know, to learn Spanish, to pray, to vision about where God wanted us to plant his church in Mexico City. And so I want to update you on where we have come from, as well as I want to explain to you and present to you the vision that God has given us to work with him in planting his church in Mexico City. And so, if you have your Bible this morning, you can join with me. This isn't going to be a sermon as per se, but this passage has really captivated our hearts as we've been thinking about and strategizing and praying and planning for 2.5 years to launch and to plant a church in Mexico City. And so, if you have your Bibles, you can join me in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. The word of the Lord says this: After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And so as we've been mulling over this, and as we've been learning Spanish and praying and seeking God for where and among who and what this thing is going to look like as we plant in Mexico City, this passage has really captivated our vision and to pull some things out from it. And so the first thing that I want us to pull out from that is that realize that God sent them. So after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them. So as we see in the greater context of our Orthodox theology, that God is a sending God. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to incarnate flesh. He humbled himself and even taking the form of a servant and dying on the cross. He incarnates because he was sent. And then we see also in Scripture that God sends the Holy Spirit to empower his birthing church to do and to say everything that Jesus started in his life. And so God is a sending God, and the church sends as well. And so first and foremost, I want to say thank you for walking with us in this journey through our Seamless Link. Thank you for sending us. If you remember, for those who have been here since we were here, we would do our I even forgot the name of it now. We would do our annual meeting. Thank you, our annual meeting. And I would always get super nervous about these things, you know, because you have to present, you know, and be like, hey, this is what God did and stuff like that. But if you remember my section, which was always lengthy, and I tried to make it more lengthy than Pastor Frank's, but it never worked out that way. And so if you remember my section, at the very end, every single year, I would put in there, but remember, Vanessa and I are wanting to go to the mission field. And so every year, you can go back and read them. I would just keep that vision in front of everybody to say, hey, we're called to mission, so when God releases us, we want to go. I can remember when Westgate was in the search process for a youth pastor and other pastor and what that would look like, and so I met with the elders and right off the bat I said, hey guys, you know, we have a vision to go into foreign missions. We have a vision to be sent. You know, is that okay? You know, because we don't know how long we can commit, you know, to Westgate. You know, and in the wisdom of the elders board at the time, you know, they said, well, when God releases you, you can go. We're like, praise God. Let's do this thing. You know, and by God's grace, he had us here for 6 years to grow, to mature, to understand what his church is all about, so that when we were sent with maturity. We were sent with experience. We were sent with understanding because of the leadership of Pastor Frank and because of the family here at Westgate Alliance Church. And so we were sent as missionary apprentices. And the cool thing about being in the missionary apprentice pathway is that the traditional route of international workers going to Latin American countries to speak Spanish is they go to a really good language school in Costa Rica, and then for a year, and then they're sent to, let's say, Mexico City. But the problem with that is that once they come from Costa Rica to Mexico City, they spend another year in language study because they have to relearn a vocabulary, and they have to relearn an accent, and they have to relearn certain Mexican words because it's just not in Costa Rican Spanish. You know, and so they still have to do more language study to understand Mexican Spanish. The nice thing about our missionary apprenticeship is we went straight to Mexico City to learn it all. And in this process, it was a very difficult process to learn Spanish. It was taxing. I can remember we were using one of our Alliance church plants for Sundays to help us hear Spanish and understand better and practice it. And the church plant called La Fuente. And so I can remember sitting in the chair Sunday after Sunday for 6 months and not having a clue what I was singing, not having a clue what the pastor was preaching, except what he wrote on the PowerPoint, because then I could quickly Google translate it, you know, type idea. Just not having a clue, you know, about what was happening around me because I didn't have that much vocabulary yet. I didn't have that much knowledge in Spanish yet. And it was about the 7-month mark. And I remember sitting in one of the services, and the preacher told a joke, and I got it. I was like, woohoo! Like, you know, it was like this amazing, like, I got the joke. I think everybody else thought I got the spirit, but it wasn't. I just got the joke, and I was excited about that. You know, and so for these language learning processes, we've learned to celebrate these little wins. You know, and you know, oftentimes, you know, we would put in our midweek prayer picks, hey, please pray for our language abilities. Please pray for this language thing because it's really difficult. I feel like I'm hitting a wall. And God's been gracious to answer your prayers in that. I still need to work on my accent, especially when I'm tired. And I still get really tired and taxed when I'm in meetings and talking in Spanish, especially late at night. But God has been gracious to answer your prayers in providing us with a Spanish foundation to be able to launch a church plant in Mexico City. So as we continue in the passage, so sent them on ahead of him two by two. And so I don't want to speak into this passage of this is the model and method of God, and so we all need to work in this, but this is how God has done it for us. You know, and so in our greater understanding, God exists in perfect community. We worship a triune God who has perfect love and relationship without anything. God is perfectly satisfied within himself. Within his community of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as such, as he births the church, he births it in a community. You know, as we see Jesus coming to this earth, he gathers people around him. I mean, think about this. Jesus could have, because he's God, just come to earth and start waving magic wands at, because I have two girls, like fairy wands, you know, at people. And everybody's saved, and the job's done. But he didn't. He came because he came from community. He came and entered into community and invited people into community around him. That's why we gather together like this. That's why we call each other a family. Because we're a community together in this. And so God has been gracious to provide us a community, and we want to continue to spread that community of Jesus Christ out. And so in the picture is Antonio and Dina. And this is one of those only God could have orchestrated this moment. And so in studying Spanish, I went to the main university in Mexico City. It's called UNAM. It was established in the late 1500s. It's been one of the culture shapers of Mexico and Latin America for the past centuries. It's incredible the influence that this university has. Currently, UNAM has 400,000 students. It's the number one university in all of Latin America and in the top 200 in the world. It's incredible. I mean, you walk onto the campus and it's its own city. It has its own zip code, actually. You know, it's huge. So I was studying my Spanish at UNAM, which was incredible because I got a lot of Mexican history, I got a lot of Mexican culture involved in my Spanish language study. And so, you know, I can tell you the mythology around our volcano that we get to look at every day, you know, that still plumes, you know, smoke and ash and stuff up into the air. It's super cool. You know, and so studying Spanish there. And I'm studying Spanish in classes for 6 week blocks in classes of about 15 people from all around the world, Asians and Europeans and Africans and all sorts of people are coming to study Spanish there for a number of reasons, to work or because of girlfriend or spouse or something like that. But what I didn't encounter was a lot of believers. You know, that was kind of not very common among the people in my class. And so, you know, so as I reported last time we were here 2 years ago, and as you've continued to pray for, I would ask God for, during every six-week block, God, please give me a person of peace that I can have a gospel conversation with, you know, and God would give me a person of peace, and we would go out for lunch and talk about spiritual things, and I would be able to present the gospel. It was really cool. Well, in this process, I can remember walking down the hallway in my language school, and there's this white guy that was talking about church planting. And I was like, that's kind of strange. You know, that's uncommon for the people in Sepe. And so I made a note of it, and you know, I tried to find him afterward. And so I walk up to this guy. And I said, hey, I overheard you talking about starting a church. You know, what is all of that about? And, you know, I told him about what we were wanting to do, that we're learning Spanish so that we can plant church in Mexico City. And so out of all of this, he invited me to this brand new church plant of Acts 29, which is a church planting network. It's a movement that plants churches. And so he invites me to go check it out. It's called Doxa. And so we're like, all right, we'll go check out Doxa. And so we went to check out Doxa, and after the service, we went out to lunch with the founding pastor. His name's Chewy. We went out to lunch with him, and by God's hand and by God's grace, God provoked Chewy to invite us onto leadership of this church plant. You know, completely Spanish church plant, so it was really good because every Monday we had leadership meeting, and it was all in Spanish, and so I'm having to wrestle through all of these early church problems in Spanish and, you know, apply, you know, what little biblical knowledge in Spanish I knew, or try to do like a quick translation in my head and, you know, all of this, you know, different things, you know, and so it was this incredible opportunity to grow in understanding how is a church planted in Mexico City. Yeah, and so I was able to be on leadership with Doxa over these past year and a half. As they've grown, as they've changed, as we discuss, you know, we don't have enough money, you know, to continue rent, you know, because most of the church is young college students, and so what do we do? And, you know, and we wrestled through all of these different issues that come with planting a new church from scratch. And so in this process, I re-met this guy named Antonio. And Antonio was there doing a church plant residency because a year earlier, God had called him to plant a church in Mexico City in the area that he lived in. Antonio is a really cool story because they've been in Mexico City. They're Mexicans. They've been in Mexico City for about 17 years and had a rocky start and came to faith in Christ and committed themselves to following Jesus Christ. And they were discipled by Alliance International Workers over the past 10 years, over the past 8 to 10 years. And so they've been a part of some Alliance church plants and different things like that. And then this past year, God had called him to plant a church in Mexico City in the area that he lived. And so he started his residency. He started a master's of theology to continue in that studying and understanding. And so as pastor of missions at Westgate, because part of my job was to lead trips to Mexico City and to continue our relationship with people like Paul and Cindy Enns and, you know, Victor and Betty Chin and other people like that, I would meet Antonio and Dina because Dina would cook for teams and because they were involved in the alliance circles. And so it was really neat that by this random, I won't say chance, by the hand of God, of me hearing this white guy talk about church planting, to being invited onto leadership with Doxa, and then Antonio and I learning together what it means to plant church in Mexico City, it was presented to us in December, would y'all consider planting a church together? And so I went to Antonio and said, hey man, this was presented to us. Let's take a week and a half to pray about this. And so we took a week and a half to pray about it over Christmas break. And we came back together at the beginning of January with a piece of God that says, yeah, let's do this together. And so we're co-planting Iglesia Cristiana Coram Deo. Coram Deo is Latin for living in the presence of God. And that's the desire, the vision that we have for this church, to be a community on mission that lives in the presence of God in Mexico City, influencing and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout Mexico City. And so as we've been talking and understanding, you know, our giftings and our roles and, you know, as co-planters and what this is going to look like, one of the main convictions that we have is that we want to plant a church that plants churches that plants churches. In fact, one of our key values is we want to see multiplication happen at every level. So we want to see disciples making disciples that make disciples. We want to see leaders that are generating leaders. We want to see churches that are planting churches. We want to see missional communities that are multiplying into a network of missional communities. And so one of the main structures of church life that we want to see happen is these things called missional community. And so a missional community is, in our context in Mexico City, because apartments are very small and squishy, our context, a missional community is about 15 to 35 people who function as a family on mission. So they have a clear mission involved, that it's not just coming together to discuss the pastoral sermon, and we talk about it in this kind of ethereal, you know, it would be nice, you know, to understand this more, and then we go and live the rest of our lives like nothing happened. We want to be intentional communities of faith that have a clear vision for what God has called us to reach in Mexico City. And it could be a park, it could be, you know, a certain segment of society, it could be a certain demographic, anything. But a community functioning as a family on mission with a very clear out, a very clear mission that we want to see reached. And so as we reach these people, our missional community grows. And so when we get to about 20 to 25, because we're kind of getting no more elbow room in our apartments, you know, then we, as God provides a missional leader and we train and disciple them, and I'll talk about that later, then we multiply into new missional communities, reaching new segments for what God has called them to reach. And so an example of this could be a missional community has a calling to reach Parque de los Venados. It's a really cool park where we used to live by. And so the people in the missional community intentionally change their schedule and their lifestyle to reach and to be a part of life in Parque de los Venados. And so what this looks like is, you know, moms are going to go play at a park. And so instead of choosing a different park, they choose Parque de los Venados intentionally to meet other moms and to meet other kids, to invite them into missional community. Or if you like running, so you don't go run in a gym and you don't go run, you know, in a different park. You intentionally run in Parque de los Venados so that you can meet other runners and invite them into missional community. You reorient your life as a community, as a family on mission around your mission to reach the people in Parque de los Venados. You know, and then, you know, so you're gathering together, you know, say on a Wednesday, and you know, you eat together, you discuss, you know, a passage and how it practically applies because we're on mission. And so how do we answer people who, you know, are, you know, don't understand the difference between faith and works? And, you know, so we apply that, and okay, you know, so that when that question comes up, when we're talking with people in Parque de los Venados, we have an answer of, man, this is how faith and works practically plays out. You know, and then, you know, the next Saturday we throw a party, you know, and we make way too much barbecue and we start handing it out for free. You know, and as people go, hey, why are you handing out free barbecue? We go, hey, we just want to be a part of, you know, park life and serve here. And hey, you know, you should join us next month when we do the party thing, so that we're intentionally getting into people's lives around us and inviting them into missional life and inviting them into gospel conversations around us. And so as we continue to see in our passage, he sent them out two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. This is incredible because we have a God who is sovereign, a God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. This sovereign God who is in control of all things. And so as such, the church goes to where God is already working, empowered by the Holy Spirit in the model of Jesus. This is what we see in the life of Jesus, that he did nothing except what he heard from the Father, and then he went out empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the good news of the kingdom, to heal those that were sick. And he did it all the time. He would get away to the mountain, and then he would go out and do what he heard from his Father. And so we have this incredible theology of a God who is sovereign, a God who desires the salvation of the world because he already purchased it in the cross of Jesus Christ for us. And then he equips and sends by the Holy Spirit his church to continue it. And so as we've been looking into this passage over these past 2.5 years, one thing that's really stood out is this idea of a person of peace. And we saw it in the passage, starting in verse 5. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And then out of that, they serve and they minister and they reach a community. And why this is so important for us is because I think evangelism has taken some really weird turns in the church. You know, we have this idea of evangelism that if I'm sitting on a plane next to somebody, I have to tell that person the gospel before we land, or his blood is on mine, or is on my hands. You know, it's almost to the point that we get this weird idea about evangelism that as we go to a park to evangelize the people in the park, it winds up that we're either jerks or we're having to throw tracts at the back of people's heads as they run away. Like, it's this idea of evangelism that usually all it does is produce shame and guilt. Man, I'm not a good evangelizer. Man, I didn't tell that person about Jesus. Man, you know, I saw that person in the Timmy's drive-through window and I had 30 seconds and I didn't say one thing about Jesus. Like, I don't think that's the model that we see from Jesus about how to bring the kingdom of God near to people. And so what we see, I believe, is more of this idea of a person of peace that God is already working in, that God has already prepared for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. Because it takes off the shame and it takes off the guilt as we open our eyes and hear from God, God, who are you leading me to that is open and receptive to me and to my message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so that's the person of peace. A person of peace is somebody who God has already prepared, that receives you, that is open to you, and even practically from this passage serves you so that you can enter into their life, you can share through testimony and word, spiritual conversations leading to the gospel, and eventually the gospel of Jesus Christ with an invitation for them to be disciples of Jesus themselves. One of the practical, really cool stories out of this is, you know, so in my UNAM classes studying Spanish, you know, I would pray, you know, God, give me a person of peace every 6 weeks. You know, and God continually did this. One of these cool persons of peace that's a very clear example for us, his name's Gustavo. Gustavo is from Brazil. And so his girlfriend was got a job in Mexico City with a bank, and so he moved with her, you know, and so so he was, you know, trying to get better at Spanish, and as he's living there and, you know, and his girlfriend's working. And so right away, Gustavo and I just hit it off. I mean, we started joking around together. You know, we had similar, you know, really good conversations, similar thoughts, you know, different things like that. There was a chemistry. He was already receptive to me. And even as it came out through the course of our classes or through the course of our conversations that, you know, I was a follower of Jesus, you know, because in Spanish class, you know, you go through how do you, you know, get people to talk Spanish. And it's like, what do? Why are you in Mexico? When did you come? Why did you come? You know, those things, you know, to get you practicing your Spanish. It came out that, you know, I was a follower of Jesus, you know, that we're there in Mexico City to, you know, to start communities that love Jesus and that love each other and that practically serve their neighbors. I don't use church. It's a very baggage-filled word. So I say we start communities that love Jesus and love others and practically serve their neighbors. And so even with all of this, Gustavo still liked me. Even with all of this, and he would clearly say he's not religious. You know, that's not who he is. But he still liked me. And we would hang out, you know, and so I would invite him to lunch and, hey, Gustavo, let's go to lunch. And so during lunch, we would talk about politics and we would talk about the world. You know, it's really easy right now to get into spiritual conversations when, you know, we have the politics and the world we have right now. And so, you know, we would get into these different conversations and you know, and eventually, you know, opportunities would be presented for me to bring it over into, you know, the gospel and into the life of Jesus Christ and be like, yeah, you know, Jesus said this about that, you know, and Jesus did this about that. And, you know, so one of, like, a really good example is his girlfriend was, we went out to a vegan restaurant because they're vegans and it was a vegan pub, you know, so they served like vegan hot dogs and vegan, like, pizzas and other vegan weird food. So we were out and, you know, and Gabby mentioned that, you know, she had a burden, you know, for poor people and that she had started, you know, with this group of people passing out blankets and soup, you know, for the poor people. And she wanted to, you know, provide them a vegan option to the homeless, you know, which I thought was kind of cool, you know, but out of this, I could affirm that and say, hey, Jesus loves poor people. That's really cool because Jesus did a lot with the poor people. You know, we can affirm that. That's a good thing, Gabby. You know, and so we have these spiritual conversations that hopefully one day as we continue to pray, God leads those into them coming to faith in Christ and receiving the gospel and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. And so as we go out into, as a missional community, into Parque de los Venados, we're asking God, give us people of peace. Give us people that you've already prepared to receive the message and to receive us. You know, and so now it's you know, it's people that already like us, you know, that are open to us and open to our message. And so it's not this weird shame, guilt, you know, they don't want to really hear it anyways. And so I just, you know, shove a track at them. You know, it's people that God has already prepared because God is a sovereign God. And as we see in the passage, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We have a God who calls and anoints. And we see that all throughout Scripture. God continually calling men and women out and anointing them for his work. And we have a church that is made up of called and anointed laborers. And so as we look into what is going to help us be a church that multiplies, what is going to help us to be a church that we see multiplication happening at every level, one of those things that we see is what we call the leadership pipeline. Very simple, and yet we don't often see a lot of it. practice in a healthy way. And so leadership pipeline, very simply, is we recruit people that we see have missional leadership potential. And then we train them. And then we deploy them and we review it all. And we do that over and over and over and over again. And we do this in a community aspect where they can practice leadership, where they can practice serving, where they can practice the model of Jesus. And so as we disciple them, you know, we follow what we see Jesus doing. That Jesus didn't just give a bunch of information and go, all right, go do it, guys. What we see in this passage even is that Jesus, yes, taught them. There are things that we need to know about the gospel. There are things that we need to know about the kingdom of God. But then Jesus sends them out and goes, all right, do it. Do what you've seen me doing. I've been preaching. I've been healing the sick. I've been casting out demons. Now go do it. And so as they went out, you know, in fact, later on in Luke chapter 10, like these disciples are really excited because they come back and they go, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus is like, I know because I already taught you to do it. And so what we see here is this idea of discipleship that's not just information being shoved into heads, but it's information about the kingdom of God. And then it's releasing people to try it, to do it as you're coaching them, as you're discipling them, and then talking about it. You know, and they come back and Jesus then teaches them on what they just experienced. And you do it over and over and over until you have people who have the character of Jesus and the competencies of Jesus to lead their own missional community where they can clearly hear from God for a certain people and say, God has given me a vision to reach that people. Man, I'm going to gather people to do that. And then you launch a new missional community into every crevice of society where the gospel is not yet there. And there's a lot in Mexico City. By conservative estimates, Mexico City is around 22 million people. Some put it up to 30 because of how they do census and statistics. Where we're located, God has placed us in an area which is highly populated by Mexican professionals. And so in this area of these Mexican professionals, the most recent stat that I could find is that there's about 7 million Mexican professionals in Mexico City, and they're almost entirely unreached with the gospel. Almost entirely unreached with the gospel. Because they're working crazy long hours, and even if they do have time off, it's with the family and, you know, different things like that. And so a traditional model of church isn't working with them as people continue to try. And so we have a vision and a burden to reach these people who are almost entirely without the gospel in Mexico City. And so as we do that, we want to reach into different segments and into different crevices of society. And so as we see with this, we have a message that the kingdom of God has come near to you. God is the king of the kingdom. God is the king of the kingdom. The church lives in kingdom rhythms with kingdom motivation, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That's all we get. As we apply and practice the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, God transforms us. He transforms those around us, and he transforms a city and a society until he comes back and transforms the entire world. And so as we look into this, we want to live in the rhythm that we see Jesus living in, both as disciples personally and as missional communities and as a church as a whole. It's these rhythms that we see of Jesus, where Jesus had a very clear up. He had a very clear walk with God the Father. He would get away on the mountaintop and pray, and then he would come down and do what he heard from God. There was an inn. He would invite people in to be around him. He would disciple them. He would train them. He would deploy them, and he would review with them until he would pass on the mission for them to do the same thing with others, and the church would explode. And he had a very clear out. Most of Jesus' teaching was about the out. Most of Jesus' application was how do we live so that we can reach others, so that there can be a clear and passionate out. Because it's not just a community that comes together so that we can be a social club. It's a community that comes together because God is a God on mission. And so we are a church on mission, reaching others. And so we want that to permeate the church plant. We want that to permeate every single disciple, that I come to faith in Christ, not so that I can be fed, but so that I can grow in my knowledge, so that I can feed others. And we want to see that happen at every segment and level of the church, so that we're multiplying and expanding and seeing new people come into faith in Christ by God's power and by what only God can do in people's lives. And so, as we finish real quickly, how can you partner with us? So therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And so number one is prayer. Thank you so much for your prayers over these past 2.5 years. So they are, we could say, kind of our lifeline, you know, as we continue to serve and to work. Because in planting a church, there's a lot of tension. There's spiritual opposition. There's relational tension. There's, you know, just the lostness around us and entering into that. And so we need your prayers. And so if you haven't already signed up for our midweek prayer pick, we have an iPad at a table in the foyer, and you can sign up, enter your email, your name in your email, and press subscribe. And you can sign up, and so you would receive that every week. But you can also take the midweek prayer picks that are published by Westgate, which is on the International Workers Board next to the offices. Also, another way that you can partner with us is through giving. As missionary apprentices, we had to raise all of our own support, and that was in large part, by Westgate and the commitment that you made to us 2.5 years ago. That you would commit to providing for us to be in Mexico City, to invest in our training and our foundation so that we can fulfill what God has called us to do, both as a couple and as a church body in Mexico City. But now as we've transitioned to international workers with the Christian Missionary Alliance, one of the main ways that you can give is continually giving to the Global Advance Fund. The Global Advance Fund is the core cooperative fund of the Alliance that sends our 220 plus workers around the world. This is the fund that covers everything to send the workers and to let them live there. So it covers our rent, it covers our salary, it covers insurance, it covers these practical, very useful things for our workers to be around the world, reaching people who, in a lot of cases, don't even have a chance to hear. And so continue to give to the Global Advance Fund. That's a super important part of being a part of the Alliance family, is that we take responsibility and care of our international workers through the Global Advance Fund. But there's also other ways that you can partner directly with us. One is we need to buy a vehicle when we get there, and so we're raising a car fund. So we need to raise $25,000. To buy a vehicle in Mexico City. Right now, we've been using public transport, and we've been using taxis and Uber. But as Maximus can no longer sit in a lap, then we have to order the big Uber, which is like 100 pesos more expensive, and we just can't afford that. And so one of the ways that would make that cost go down, and that would give us a lot of practical mobility in Mexico City is our car fund and purchasing a car there. We also have a work fund, which covers everything from our discipleship meetings to our pastoral meetings that Antonio and I do. We do everything out of this that is a part of discipleship in the ministry. And so you can give into that. We have an outfit fund that covers things like, you know, moving the girls out of sleeping together in the same bed to buying them single beds, or, you know, whatever that looks like. But it's the fund that sets up our house when we're in Mexico City. And then we have an approved special for our new church plan, and it's called Coramdale, Mexico City. And so Coramdale, Mexico City is the funds that go to plant the new church. So it covers rent. It covers buying the sound equipment. It covers a lot of different things that would go into what it takes to start and launch a new church in Mexico City. And then another way is through going. And we've really, really appreciated the teams that from Westgate that have come down, that have checked in on us, that have encouraged us, that have been a part of even the beginning part of strategizing and planning for the church plant. And those are always, always a blessing to us. And so we really, really appreciate Westgate investing into these teams to come down and to be a practical part, especially in the future as we continue with this, to be a practical part of what it takes to plant a church and to be hands-on with planting Coramdale in Mexico City. I'm going to pray. And I just, again, want to say thank you to our Westgate Alliance family for how you've invested in us, how you've walked with us every step of the way, because here's the reality. We are fruit of Westgate. What happens with Coramdale is fruit of Westgate. Because you pray, because you give, because you have sent us as extended staff to Mexico, everything that happens in Mexico, as you see God building his kingdom and his church in Mexico City, that is fruit of Westgate Alliance Church, and that continues to add to the legacy of missions that Westgate has. So thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good and that you are great. And because you are good, you desire that none should perish but all come to faith in Christ. And because you are good, you promise that you will build your church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Because you are good, you send people to proclaim your gospel. And you raise up communities of faith like Westgate to send people in the same manner that Paul and Barnabas were sent out from the local church of Antioch. Westgate has sent and continues to send. And so, Father, thank you for that. Father, I pray that Westgate would see even more of that. Father, that Westgate would be an incredible, continuing, sending church of spreading your kingdom around the world, spreading your gospel to the least reached in the world. Father, because you are great, we can trust you that you will accomplish your promises. We can trust you that you will provide in all of this. We can trust you that you will continue to work and to move and to grow Westgate to accomplish the good works that you have already prepared for it before the foundation of the earth. And so, Father, thank you for your church at Westgate. Thank you for how they are partnering into what you are doing in Mexico City. Father, bless it. Make your face shine upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
A while back, I proclaimed this song over the Brad and Jackie up in Arviat, but I realized we need to expand this, that build your kingdom is wherever God sends us, whether it be Arviat, whether it be Mexico City, whether it be Saskatoon, Ontario, wherever God has sent us, that's where we need to build our kingdom. So please stand with us. I invite you to clap, stomp, jump around, but let's proclaim God's kingdom.